This is episode 465, recorded May 26th, 2017. Packard pokes at. Okay, let's talk. Conversations with Wingnuts.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Your news.
Hello, everybody. This is Packard Pokes At, and tonight we have a topic of conversation with Wingnuts. Have you ever had a situation where you're online, you're just having a conversation, or you post something, and someone comes along that's usually, well, fucking batshit crazy, and they just go off in a completely left field? Sometimes these people you just cannot have a conversation with them because they just their rationality is just gone. They just have no rationality whatsoever to speak of. So that's our topic for tonight, is conversations with Wingnuts.
Yeah. So I actually belong to an entire Facebook group of Wingnuts. Somebody
mixed nuts.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, very mixed. Somebody added me to this group, I don't know, like a year or so ago, and I call it the crazy group. And I have come across people in there who believe shit that I didn't even know existed. Like there's a guy in there who calls himself a hydro prophet.
I'm sorry, a what?
A hydro prophet. He believes that water is God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least water exists.
Yeah, I'll give him half credit.
Takes on different forms.
You know what? Oddly enough, I was thinking of this very fucking thing this afternoon. I was thinking about I was thinking about how people might think. I was thinking, somebody might think water is alive. So I was thinking, well, you could try to argue that it's not alive, but I was like, okay. But then I couldn't believe I was actually, you know, we were right on the same wavelength, as it were.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Wavelength, water. Wavelength,
you know, it, yes. You know, just thought, yeah. Process, you know.
Dude, you're surfing.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to think about it in the weirdest possible sense, let's give the good expansion as far as we possibly can without overreaching. That water, without water, we don't have life, period. So, but right. as far as it being a god, quote unquote, no, that's as far as I'm going to take it. It helps sustain life, but it doesn't give.
But it also, well, it floods. You know, it's indiscriminate. It's, you know, it's very. Anyway. I'm not sure it's a better god than the Abrahamic god.
But... I can sort of, like, he's like, well, everything needs water to live and all of this. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But he's like, you know, thinking you should worship it. And I'm like, oh, why?
No.
You know.
Then he must not own a toilet. That would be my first question. Do you own a toilet? What do you have running in it? Sand?
Yeah. Either that or you're shitting on God all the time.
Yeah.
Dig a hole.
You're shitting in your God all the time.
God's taking away their sins.
And he's pissing on the God at the same time.
And God is in his piss.
Yeah.
That too.
These conversations are just so bizarre. You know, the thing is, sometimes I come across these ones and they start talking about the Illuminati do A, B, or C.
Yeah.
And I'm like, as soon as, now, for the most part, I will not block most people for a while, unless they start bringing up really batshit crazy stuff. And this today, as a matter of fact, this one guy I've had conversations back and forth with, and this guy is always on the losing end of it because he's just a fucking nut job. He starts bringing up the Illuminati, and I'm like, okay, bye-bye.
See, I don't block the crazies. I've never blocked anyone because usually I can get them to block me just by holding the conversation.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, though, these people are taking away my life because I have things to do, and I don't have time to sit there and indulge their insanity. So I instituted a policy that if they start going off the rails, like way too far off the rails, and I just don't want to deal with it anymore, I am not going to. I'm just not going to. They don't deserve any more of my time. It's bye-bye time at that point.
Yeah, I suppose I could see that. I'm really, really stubborn. So I don't like to me, if I was to block someone, that means I'm giving up. So just me, right? Yeah. So I understand why other people block people and that's cool. But for me, it's like giving up. And I kind of almost relish the challenge of getting them to block me.
Yeah, I have.
I don't even need to be rude or crude or abusive. Just by being stubborn, a lot of time they will get frustrated and throw up their hands and be like, "Oh, you're fucking stupid," and block me. And just like,
yeah. I've been blocked by a few myself, quite a bit, in fact. But it's just that after a while, I can't let these people take over my life. And that's the way I look at it, because I used to think of it like that too, where I would say, okay, if I am, if I block this person, then they get the win because they say, oh, he blocked me. Ha ha ha. He can't handle it. Blah, blah, blah. No, it's not that. That's not the reason. That's absolutely not the reason. It's not that they won. It's just that I am not paid to analyze their psychosis.
Yeah.
So their whole process of thought and whatnot is just, I'm done. I can't do with them anymore. I feel it's like, if you ever watch The Atheist Experience, Matt Dillahunty, he has a tendency to be like, okay, you're done, click, hang up.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. Because after a while, it becomes nonsensical. And it's just a complete waste of your time at that point. And they're not there to enrich your life. They're there to waste your time. And they're not worth my time.
Well, sometimes I think that's the point, too, is are they talking because they want to be engaging, or are they talking because they want to hear themselves talk? I don't know. I don't have the illusion in myself that I can sway people's opinions. I find it really odd when somebody does pay attention and things do change, because I just don't think that I'm that influential, but I do like engaging with people. And when I am done, I don't know. There's only been one or two people I've ever put on a block list, and it had nothing to do with anything that happened, like on Facebook, for example. It was just that I just didn't want this person. I didn't want to talk with them anymore. Usually people will say, they will, I think, filter or block my feed on social media. And I'm okay with that, because I don't know. Sometimes I think life's too short. I don't mind trying to have discussions with people, but when somebody is so out there and you can't even kind of deal with it, it's like, no. I don't have that many interactions with wingnuts. I actually stopped attending a group on Facebook because I just didn't need that in my life, kind of a thing. And I felt bad about it afterwards, because I go, well, you know, if people don't talk with you about things that you might misunderstand, how can you ever be different? How can you ever hope to change? And maybe some people are happy and their ignorance, is that too judgmental a word? But I personally don't understand how people can live like that. I'm forever grateful to my oldest son sticking with me for like 2-3 years for me to just grasp the concept that just because I have a personal testimony, it doesn't mean that he has to accept it. And just, you know, if he doesn't believe that the Bible was the word of God, then it did me no good to talk to him about that. It took me 3 years to grasp that. And and it doesn't have to just be about religion either, does it? I mean,
yeah, no, I no, I totally get that. There, when I usually have some of these conversations, it's my I know that they're not going to change my mind, and I'm not under any illusion that I'm going to change their
exactly.
mind. But what I do it for is so the people who are come across
watching,
right?
Yes,
I do it for them. And as a matter of fact, I have had people change their minds based on what I've said. There was, I'm not going to give out their name because I found out after the fact as we started talking to this person, I found out they were underage. So I was like, okay, well, we're just going to back off on these particular jokes that we made at that moment. So I was like, whoa, okay, backing off now. So,
yep.
But anyway, they came up with some of this really crazy ass shit, and I told them that if you want to have a conversation with me, all I ask you is to be intellectually honest. That's it. If you start spouting off nonsense, it's bye bye, and I won't bother looking back. And I've told this to a few people, and only this one particular person. I think that they may have changed their mind because the fact is they went by what I expected is just to be honest. That's all I ever ask of anybody is just to be honest or intellectually honest, at least. Matt, haven't chimed in on anything. What conversations have you had lately?
Oh, I've had some big conversations with people. When I first started on Google last year, there's a gentleman, I'm not going to give out his name, but, sure. He would have like a hangout every night, and he was this big Christian wing nut. And he was like very adamant about everything. You know, the Bible says this, that's what the Bible says, and that's what it is, and nothing else matters. And you try to, dispute it, and he would not let you dispute it. And then he would cut you off.
That sounds like Gmail.
Or he'd boot you out.
Oh, so that sounds like Nephilim Free, actually.
Yeah.
No, it's not him.
Both of them sound like one of them. Well, the Nephilim Free and G-Man sounds like they both sound like.
Well, YouTube has a veritable full house, full hand of. People like that, don't they?
Well, the funny thing about it was, is that. We were in he had a hangout, and I was in it, and you know, I was listening to it, and I was talking to one of the people in there, and this guy who had the hangout got so mad he left his own hangout. I can't stand this guy, blah blah blah, and I'm like, well, why are you leaving your own hangout? That I mean, you know,
take him out.
You have the option of booting this guy out, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's bizarre.
There are some people on here who just, you know, they won't let you have a word edgewise, and they're right, and that's it, and nothing else.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, one of the things I think is fine, especially intellectually dishonest, is that when Christians they claim that they know something from the Bible, or they make some wild ass assertion. I was dealing with this one nut job. He's saying that God doesn't punish people for their beliefs. And I'm like, really? You think so, huh? And I pulled up like 4 or 5 quotes from the Bible, and I posted right to him. And he's like, you don't understand the Bible. Those come right from the fucking Bible. I fucking understand what they said. And I put in there what it was referring to. So don't tell me that I don't understand this shit, which it really bugs the piss out of me, where they say you gotta have the Holy Spirit in you.
Oh God, that drives me nuts.
I hate that.
I can pull out, this is a manual, all right, this is a little manual for a camera that I have.
Yeah.
And I can understand this manual, which was written by a human, which the Bible, of course, was too. I can understand this. And this, not that this is very complicated to begin with, but I can understand it. So what does that say about their Bible? If they think that you can't understand their Bible without the Spirit, then what does that say about their religion?
Well, and it's basically saying that you have to believe it before you can ever understand it. So
right. And then again, special knowledge will be imparted to you.
Yeah. Right. It's a special pleading fallacy.
Yeah. No, that one drives me crazy. And one of my biggest counters to that is, you know, okay, so your God is omnipotent. Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's omniscient. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, then why the hell can't it write a book that every fucking person can understand? Because it created language, according to you. So it knows what exact languages need to be out there. It understands how people's minds work because it created them. So why the hell can't it write a book that any person on the planet can open up, read it, and understand what the fuck it says?
Yeah.
Like, why is, you know, it's like you have to, you know, whistle Dixie and hop on one foot while, you know, cradling a cat and, you know, hopping on one foot to understand this shit. It's ridiculous. And not one theist has ever been able to explain to me, they always throw, well, free will. I'm like, no, I can have the free will to reject the message, you know, but at least give me the opportunity to understand what the fuck the message is in the first place. I can still choose to reject it. Yeah. That's free will.
I was thinking about this actually today, and I had an epiphany. I had a little bit of an epiphany. Now, stop me if you what you think about this. Now, this is what I would ask them next time I have somebody, I come across one of these nut jobs and say, okay, your God wants me to believe in him, right? So by you saying that I can't understand it, then your God has failed to make it easy for me to understand, to know him or know it, right? So that's a failure on your God's part, not on my part.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have to believe it to understand it So your God has already failed the first step. Your God should make it easy for me to understand so I can know that.
Yeah.
And to a lot of people, that's how the Bible is, where, you know, it's hard to understand. I mean, if I read the Bible, I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when it says specifically, you know, God killed all these people because they didn't worship him, what else is there? You know, it's like, well, you don't understand the context. I'm like, what context could that possibly be okay? You know, yeah, exactly. Like, and it's even worse when you get into the Quran, because
they just want to kill people left and right, and they still do that to this day.
Yeah,
I have not dug into the Quran. What I know about the Quran could fit into a thimble, actually. So, and I say that with no reservations. I say that with no reservations, that I don't know the Quran that well yet. But that is something I am planning on studying after we get done reading the Bible for our Bible podcast, The Atheist, the Bible, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, it can be somewhat complicated, but you know, you take what the words actually say, and then first of all they say bad translation. Well, again, if your God is all-knowing and all-powerful, then translation shouldn't be a problem. And why the hell did it pick one language that hardly anybody speaks? Arabic. Like, the amount of people that speak Arabic is minuscule compared to the population of people. So that was a dumbass idea in the first place, if you want people to understand this shit. And then once you get past, no, it's not a bad translation. Well, you have to look at, you know, why was it said this way? And, you know, like the verse that talks about, you know, if your wife disobeys you, you can beat her. And they, you know, they've twisted it into all kinds of shit where it comes down to, well, you can tap her lightly with a special stick. You know, I'm like, no,
I'd like to poke somebody with a stick.
That's not what it says, you know?
Yeah.
But that, you know, they take just plain words and and there's even one interpretation where I've heard, because that verse, the progression is like, you know, one of the, for if your wife disobeys you or you think she's going to disobey you, one of the things you can do is withhold sex.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter, or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokeSet on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokeSet. Or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokeSet. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable,
fire, fire, fire,
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday.
And then you progress.
Is this the Bible or is this the Quran?
This is the Quran.
Okay.
And so that
I don't remember hearing anything about this in the Bible. So
no, this is the Quran.
Okay. This is the limitation of my knowledge. I'm like, okay, I'm learning a thing here.
That's okay. And so it progresses to, it says in the Quran, beat her. But I've even seen it spun where beat her means have sex with her, even though the thing that it says to do right before that is not have sex with her. I'm like, how the hell can you spin that?
I've got news for them. They think that if they're withholding sex from their women is going to punish them, their women are going, thank you. Thank you for not getting your ugly ass undressed in front of me and waving around your one-eyed willy in front of me, because I really don't care and I can go without it way longer than you can.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Isn't rape pretty predominant out there in the Middle East? I mean, women are raped.
In fact, there's no description or word for rape in the Quran at all. In fact, the concept of consent isn't even in the Quran.
Yeah. That much I know.
Yeah.
I did want to read a comment from the chat room from the real Paul Marshall, and thank you for your comment. He says, you have to read the Bible in the original English.
Is that old Middle English, Saxon? Which
it just says English. So that's what we do on the Atheist, the Bible, and the Wardrobe. We read it in English, and that is poor. I mean, it is a poor fucking written document.
Well, and I mean, how many fucking versions do there have to be? Like, if you go to Bible Gateway, which is my favorite website,
That's one of mine.
Which. It doesn't matter what flavor of Christian you come across, you know, I don't read blah, blah Bible. I read this one. So click. Okay. Now it's in this Bible. What's the problem?
Yeah, but, no, I mean, I do that.
You look at it. Why are there 50 billion fucking versions of the Bible when it's, you know, God's true message? Like,
yeah, that's a good point. When I bring that up, they'll say, well, you got to read it in this, the King James version, which is possibly the worst version out there.
Exactly.
And the way I've heard it anyway, what I do is I say, hey, the reason I'm giving to you in like the New Standard Version or whatever it is, so it's not only easier for us to both understand it, but because the translation is much better. The later on is the better translation. The one mm-hmm. that you're referring to when you talked about the King James is possibly the worst version. And that one was messed up by King James because he had exactly. a whole lot of extra shit put in there that the Bible or originally, I don't know. We don't have any originals, but I mean, the ones previous to that just weren't
early.
In there. He had
a bunch
of weird shit put in there. So that the fact is, do you think the King James Bible is a good Bible? Is a bad argument.
Exactly.
You want to go with the most latest translation.
King James, first of all, he was raised to believe that he was the head of the church. And this is right after the English Reformation, which his, King Henry VIII, which was two generations before him. And that whole thing happened just because Henry wanted to get laid. I mean, let's not, that's exactly why.
Yes.
But King James was raised to believe that he was the head of the church and that whatever he wanted, as far as the church goes, that's what happened. And that he had this supposed direct line to God. Like he was like Pope, basically. The kings of England took over from the Pope because the Pope wouldn't give Henry a divorce. So Henry said, fuck you, I'm the Pope. And that's where the Anglican church came from. But King James was raised to believe that that's, you know, he is the defender of the faith. So he just changed it to whatever the hell he wanted. Like the story about the adulterous woman and go and sin no more and all of that, he had that added in because it was a popular folktale at the time. It wasn't part of the Greek original, the elder versions of the Bible that had been translated previously. It wasn't part of that. He decided, you know what? Everybody really likes that story. It's a good moral. Let's put it in the Bible.
It wasn't there, so that was
added in the 1600s. Like that's like totally modern compared to, you know, what the older translations were like. It's ridiculous to think that this is like the be all and end all of Bibles. And I'm sorry, but I don't think anybody in fucking Jerusalem was speaking Elizabethan English.
They were speaking, that was speaking in tongues was.
I'm oh, sure. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's only one way to do that, and you have to be naked. I'm just saying.
That's what my husband keeps telling me. Here's the funny thing, though, as we talk about all of this and all these translations, it comes back to the whole premise that religious books are not inspired by gods, but they're written by men.
Yeah.
And trying to get that through
to these wingnuts out there that, hey, this book is not the end all be all. This book was written by people who think that, you know, these people were just goat herders. You know, they're just walking around making shit up because they thought that was the thing to do. And they didn't.
And what else are you going to do when you're sitting around watching a bunch of goats anyway?
Yeah. Goat one, fuck goat two.
Yeah.
I got really horny and there was no women around. So, well, I just took care of business.
But, you know. Yeah. Just don't let it drop on the ground. Onan found out the hard way that's not the way to do it.
And you know what the funny thing is when they bring up that one about they think that's about masturbation and it's not.
Yeah. It's not.
It's about pulling out.
Yeah. It is. It's totally like and fucking your brother's wife too.
Your dead brother's wife.
Dead brother's wife, yes.
Yeah,
which
dead brother's
actually,
wife.
Which actually, did you know that that's what got Henry VIII in trouble because his first queen was his dead brother's wife?
Oh, really? That's interesting. I did not know that.
Because Henry VIII was not supposed to be king. He had an older brother, Prince Arthur, who died. And Catherine of Aragon was actually married to Prince Arthur first. So that's what Henry tried to say to get rid of Catherine when he wanted to get laid with Anne Boleyn. He was like, oh, damn it. I've been married to my dead brother's wife for the last 25 years. Shit. That was bad. No, we need to get rid of that.
Oh, wow. We covered, we covered on our a segment called the Pope on the Rope. It's a fun segment. We talk about the different popes throughout the ages, and we came across one when he became pope. He only became pope because his father died and he passed it on to him. He was about 16 or 17 years old when he got the became pope. Wow. And he only lived to be about age 25. He was pope twice, and he died like 8 months into a second one. I could be wrong in the exact date. Only because he was caught having an affair with somebody else's husband, and he came in, found them, and he got his head bashed in with a hammer.
Damn.
Yeah.
Have you guys done Alexander the Sixth yet? He's my favorite.
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll get to him eventually, probably.
That's Rodrigo Borgia, in case you're wondering.
Yes.
Did we do that Borgia. One?
Yes, we did a Borgia.
Okay, we did do that one.
He's my favorite.
Yep.
Of course, then there's the guy that they, you know, when the new pope came along, he hated the old one so bad that he dug him up and put him on trial and had his corpse beaten up. And yes, well, that really happened.
Show. That's another show. We're going to have a discussion on that.
That's a wingnut for you.
That is a fucking wingnut. How fucking bizarre are and gone are you to say, hey, this previous guy, he's dead, but let's put him on fucking trial.
That sounds like a Twilight Zone episode. Wow. It sounds like the Crypt Keeper should be hosting that. Something like that. Oh my gosh.
Hello, boys and girls, we're gonna put the Pope on trial for the previous Pope.
It's kind of like the X-Files.
This is why when people tell me that history is boring, I tell them to fuck off, because history is amazing. There's so much crazy shit in history. Like, wow, that really happened.
These wingnuts, I have yet to come across anybody that says that they're going to dig up their previous predecessor to have to put them on trial. But that would definitely put them right there. You know, like, okay, bye-bye, block.
It's kind of like the X-Files when they dug up Mulder after he died and they brought him back to life.
I don't even know. I don't know what episode that was, and you spoiled something for me, I'm sure.
I'm sorry.
Here's your tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Speaking of tinfoil hat, did you guys ever come across a dude named Eric Jewell? He's got a YouTube channel, and he is like a conspiracy, like, nut job. I ran across him in the aforementioned crazy group, so.
Making a note. Okay.
Yeah.
Eric with a K or?
C. I think his channel might be under Wolf Bitten Jewell.
Okay.
Yeah, something of that effect. But he's crazy. He's fucking nuts. He was in the group going on about how anti-theists were too cowardly to debate him. So I'm like, I have a show. I'll debate you. And he's like, all right now, here's a link. I'm like, no. That's not how this shit works. I have a show. You come on the show, we'll do a debate. And he was like, no, you have to do it now or you're a pussy. So I was like, I'm going to bed, but I challenged him. Mm-hmm. And so he was going to come on the show, and I had a really good friend of mine volunteered to be a moderator, and we were going to do like this full debate thing on my show. But the thing is, I found out what his shtick was, because if you remember, I said he wanted to have the debate like right that second.
Yeah.
So what he would do is he was basically bum rushing people. So he would say, oh, yeah, you come right now. Well, he's this creation nut job, and he's got like oodles and oodles of these stupid fake websites with, quote, evidence. like ready because he does this all the time, right? So he gets someone on who doesn't know what they're getting into, and then he starts dumping all of the pseudoscience on them, and then they don't know what the hell he's talking about, and then he makes them look like they don't know anything because they aren't prepared for all of the stupid shit that he throws at them. And he hardly
I've come across somebody like that not that long ago. They were like, they did that same kind of thing. They just dumped a whole shit ton of things. They, hey, refute all this. It's like,
and you know, he had links to pseudoscience websites that, you know, it would take you hours to go through and pick apart the stupid things they were saying. So I decided that when I challenged him, I'm like, there is no fucking way I'm going to debate evolution with this guy because he's not going to play fair. He's got all this pseudoscience bullshit that it would take you hours to pick apart. And then he's just going to sit there and stomp his feet and, you know, say that you don't know and blah, blah, blah. So I, because he has said, pick a topic and we'll set it up, right? So I picked the topic of the concept of evidence because I don't think that he understood what evidence actually is. And so when I presented that to him as the topic, he pitched a fit and decided that no, he wasn't going to debate that. And why can't I just debate evolution like everyone else? And I'm like, no, because I don't want to debate evolution. That's so passe. Like, no. And so he basically pitched a fit and rage quit because I wouldn't do like his pet topic. And so, yeah, it was quite amusing. and then he's going around still saying that everybody's too cowardly to debate him. I'm like, you don't even know what the fuck a debate is. He had a woman on his channel who was a theologian. And like at the beginning of his quote debate, he had her list all of her credentials. So she had like doctorates and a master's and all of this shit on early scripture. She knew the Greek and all of that. And so when she would make a point, he would be like, well, you know, she's citing a primary source that she's seen with her own eyeballs. And he's like, well, what's your proof? And she's like, what? She, like, I'm citing a primary source that I've seen. Well, you don't have any proof then.
I had a very similar conversation just today. This guy's like, do you think the universe is eternal? It's like, well, there's a new science that came out just this last year. Or in 2015, it said maybe the universe has just always existed. We don't know. It's a new concept, basically. It's only a couple years old. It's like, so the universe may never end because it never started, so it'll never end. So, and they're just discounting the Big Bang and just saying, hey, it just always existed. And this is an actual science that's out there. Right. This is not like some crackpot tinfoil hat bullshit. And he's like, you don't have any proof. I was like, I posted a copy of what you want. You asked me a question. I posted a thing.
Yep.
Well, you just copy and paste it. What do you expect me to do? Bring you all the fucking go out and do all the research myself and then do the math and everything and then present it to you? No.
Yeah.
I do the same thing everybody else does. I find the article or whatever it is that you think that you want, I will give it to you. But the fact is, you think that just because I can't do it myself doesn't mean anything. I can at least find the research. We all step on the shoulders of the people who come before us. These people are the ones that do all the work.
Yep. There was a guy in the crazy group not long ago. He was challenging people to give him evidence of evolution. But then he's like, but it has to be your own work. You can't post anything from anyone else. I'm like, what the fuck?
Then he has to post his own work saying he has proof of God. He can't use the Bible at all.
Exactly, but
you can't point to nature and say that's a proof because you're doing that. He's doing exactly the same thing at that point. Unfortunately,
it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Unfortunately, we are out of time now. But I do want to thank Heretic Woman for joining us tonight. And Heretic Woman, do you want to give your show channel?
Sure. Yeah, I host a little show called Beyond the Trailer Park, and we are live on YouTube Mondays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. We also do a podcast version, so you can catch us on Spreaker and all the other podcast catcher things. This week we're really excited. We're having our good friend Bryce Blankenagel back on the show, and we're going to talk about his latest trip to all of the historical Mormon places up in New York and that area.
Oh, I've heard about that guy.
He hosts the Naked Mormonism. He's a good friend of mine. So we're going to talk about his latest trip all around places like the Hill Cumorah and Nauvoo and all of those fun places.
Okay.
So, nice. Looking forward to that. We haven't had a Mormon episode in a while. We've been kind of Scientology heavy on the weirdo stuff. So.
Are you putting masks on when you're doing the Scientology stuff? Because I love.
Oh hell no! Come and find me, you Scientologist freaks. Like, we've done four Scientology shows now. I am sure OSA knows at least they've heard of us. Because you know, we have ex Scientologist friends that come on the show, so we know all about you, OSA. So if you want to come and videotape me, you know, while I'm outside picking up the trash or whatever, that's fine. Come and get me.
Okay. Alrighty.
And you know what? Somebody tries to intimidate me, then I do what I do more. So I welcome it.
Nice. All righty. I also want to thank my co-host, Connie, Practical Magic 9, and hey. Matt, Not a Believer 71, I believe. Is that the correct?
Yep.
Okay, there we go. I'm terrible remembering numbers and names.
Happy to be back.
So. But we'll be back on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Time, and we have a staff meeting shortly thereafter. If you want to catch that, that's on iTunes. And then we'll be back again next week, Friday, at 9 p.m. Central Time for our starting this next week, we'll be probably doing a long show every Friday after this. That's a thing. That's going to be a thing again. We're going to be doing long shows again, maybe. Because of fact is my work changed again, so I adjust the show to go with the work. So now the work says, hey, I don't have to work a Saturday, so I have time to edit. So that's the thing. Yes. Alrighty, we'll see you next week. This has been Packard Pokeset with Okay, Let's Talk,
and that's a wrap.